Reading the current daf Masechet Shabbos daf Lamed Ches. The Gemara continues the theme of the previous daf, which is speaking about the rabbinic takana of shehiyah regarding leaving things on the fire from before Shabbos. Although you're not cooking on Shabbos, you put on the flame from before. However, there was a machlekes between Hananya and the Rabbanon about regarding what type of food has to have what's called garf or katim, that the coals have to be shoveled out or covered with ashes, which contemporary times what's known as a blech. And that is, the Rabbanon say that it has to be, any type of food cannot be left on an open flame if it's a type of flame that could be, the coals could be raked. And Hananya agreed that if it's less than a third or a half cooked, depending on the interpretation of the Rishonim about Maicha ben Jesoi, he also would agree that it would also have to be covered with some type of a blech before Shabbos, because we're concerned that you might come to rake the coals on Shabbos. Therefore, on that theme, the Gemara continues. On the bottom line of Lamed Zayin Mabez, they asked Reb Chibar Abba the following question. We continue on to the top of Lamed Ches Amud Aleph. Shochach kader al gabe kira. Lamaisa, if a pot was forgotten on top of the stove, according to the one that says it's aser, that is according to the Rabbanan that argue on Chananya, that they say that even from before Shabbos regarding Shehiyah, by leaving on the open flame, it has to be covered with a blech. Or as Tosis says, that although as Tosis says, Shita is that lahalacha we pass like Chananya, Tosis says here we're talking about that it wasn't cooked even a third cooked or half cooked, that it wasn't cooked like Mecha ben Nisoy, where even Chanan would agree that it would have to have garf or katim, would have to have that the coals would be shoveled out or that it's covered with ashes. So let's say it was not. The person forgot, he was oyber, so to speak, on this Issa d'Rabbanan of Shehiyah, of covering it with a blech from before Shabbos, and he forgot, and now it's on Shabbos already. Ubishla b'Shabbos is cooked on Shabbos, maho, what's the halacha? Is it forbidden or is it mutter? In other words, by mistake I was transgressing this Issa d'Rabbanan of Shehiyah, and now because of that the food was cooked. So the Gemara says, Ishtik v'leim alayim midi. He was quiet and he didn't say anything. L'mocher nafag darish lo. But the following day he went out and he lectured about this topic and he said as follows. He quoted this Mishnah. Hamavashal b'Shabbos b'shogeg yoichel. It says that whoever cooks on Shabbos by mistake, then he could eat by mistake. In other words, if by mistake he turned on a flame or whatever it is, he turned it higher, it got cooked on Shabbos. Then a person could eat it. B'mezer lo yoichel. If he did it intentionally on Shabbos, he didn't care, he went ahead and cooked something, then it's usher to eat that food item. Veloishna, and there's no distinction. And that is, however, regarding the question they asked in the previous day, regarding forgetting a pot from before Shabbos and being over on the Isser of Shehiyah, there's no difference between Shegig or Mezer, whether it's done by mistake or intentionally. And that's how he said this lecture. He didn't explain regarding forgetting if he's comparing it to the case of Shogig, and that is whether the person did it by mistake or intentionally when he forgot when he left it from before Shabbos, then it's going to be mutter to eat it. Or he's saying that there's no difference, that they're both like mazid, that it's like the case of doing on Shabbos on purpose, that they're both also. He didn't say. He only said this regarding forgetting from before Shabbos, they were not going to make the distinction between Shogig and mazid. And therefore it wasn't clear, as the Gemara asked, my voloshno, what does it mean that there's no distinction, there's no difference from before Shabbos between Shogeg and Mezer? Does that mean whether you forgot it or even on purpose you did it before Shabbos without a blech, that they're both going to be mutter, or that they're both going to be aser, whether you forgot or did on purpose? Either way, it's going to be aser. So the Gemara brings two different opinions. Rabbi Yosef Damer Tavai, Le'ater, when he gave his lecture and he said that regarding Erev Shabbos, that if you didn't put on the blech, it doesn't make a difference if by mistake or on purpose, that both cases are mutter. And they explained the reason is because Mevashel Hudaka Avid Ma'isa, regarding cooking on Shabbos, where you're doing an action of an Isser, B'mezer Lo Yoichav, if it did on purpose, we don't let you eat that. We don't let someone that did an Aver to gain something out of it. Avol Hai, the like covered meister, but here regarding when you didn't put on the blech and you, so to speak, well, even the Issa d'Rabbanan of the Issa Shehiyah, so then you didn't do an action. So to say, it was that passive allowing it to stay on into the Shabbos, which is the Issa. So therefore, b'mezid nama yoichel there, even b'mezid, one would be allowed to eat if he forgot and he left this pot on top of the kir from before Shabbos without a blech, he can eat it on Shabbos. However, the Gemara brings another amor that gives a different interpretation. That both cases of leaving on before Shabbos without a blech, even Shogeg was also aser. That's why we say there's no distinction. Not only mazid like cooking on Shabbos, but even leaving from before Shabbos, even by mistake, is also aser. Why is that? So he explains, because mevashel hu d'lo yoseh l'rumeh. Regarding cooking on Shabbos, no Jew is going to practice this type of deceit and do it on purpose and to say, oh, I did it by mistake. Because Kalal Yisrael is not suspected about Shabbos that they're going to go ahead and do in Malacha Dereis on Shabbos. However, therefore it was done by mistake, you can go ahead and eat it. If something by mistake you cooked, okay. You know what I'm saying? We let it after the fact. But regarding over here from leaving from before Shabbos, where a person is going to practice deceit, because it's only Issa d'Rabbanan, and it's very lax because it's only a passive drabbanan, and therefore he's going to come and leave it, blech, who cares? He's going to leave it on purpose intentionally, and he's going to say, oh, I did it by mistake, that I forgot it. So therefore, there b'shogig nama lo yechol. There also, even if it's done b'shogig, by mistake, even in such a case, you're not allowed to eat it because there's a reason to be geyser. There's makom to say that we can't let him even by mistake, because if we let, so to speak, people that forgot it, people are going to say, oh, I really forgot, because they're going to be negligent about it. They're going to be lax in that area. Therefore, we said even by b'shogig, even if it was done by mistake, it's still aser if it was left on from before Shabbos without a blach. Now the Gemara asks, meisvei. According to the first opinion that said that lo yishno leheter, that both cases, whether it was done b'shogig or b'mezid, if it was left from before Shabbos without a blech, without shoveling out the coals or coming with ashes, it's going to be mutter. However, we learned in the following braisa, shachach kedera gabi kira. The same type of case, if someone forgot a pot on top of the kira, ubishl b'shabbos, and they cooked on Shabbos. So halach is, b'shoigig yoichel, if it was done by mistake, then it could be eaten. B'mezel lo yoichel, if it was on purpose, then it cannot be eaten. However, this Tana qualifies it, b'med b'mamurim b'chamech lehoch mukol tzarkan. That's only by a hot drink that wasn't fully heated. And b'tavshushle b'shikot tzarkan, and a cooked dish that wasn't fully cooked. Then you have the problem about shihia. But if it was a hot drink that was fully heated anyway, it was a cooked dish that was fully cooked, then whether if it was done by mistake or even on purpose, you could eat it, because there this town holds that there's no problem about, so to speak, leaving it without a blech, because it doesn't need a blech. Once it's fully cooked, it doesn't make a difference. We're not going to be concerned that you're going to rake the coals, because it's fully cooked anyway. So if we don't even need a blech, so then definitely, even if it was b'shoig or b'mez, it doesn't make a difference. You could eat the food that's cooked on Shabbos. Divrei Meir, this is the opinion of Meir. It's only when it's not fully cooked, then you do have the rabbinic institution of garf or katam, that you have to put on the blech, shovel out the coals. And then if you didn't, then by mistake we let you eat it. On purpose, we don't let you eat it. That's the opinion of Meir. Rabbi Huda Imer, chamet shehuch mekol tzarkan mutar. Regarding a hot drink that was fully cooked, then I agree to you, Reb Meir, that that's going to be permitted. Because the more it cooks, the more it gets condensed, the worse it gets for the drink, because it evaporates. A drink that's fully cooked, the more it gets cooked, the worse it gets. So therefore, of course, no one's going to go ahead and rake the coals and make the flame even higher. So therefore, we don't have the reason of Shemi Echata, that someone's going to rake it, and therefore there's no reason to have a blech, because he's not going to make the flames higher anyway. However, V'tavshal Shebishal Kol Tzarkei Aser, I disagree with you, Reb Meir, regarding a fully cooked dish, that there it would be aser. And the reason is, although it's fully cooked, because it's like a chon, like a stew, that the more it cooks, the more condensed it gets, the better it gets. And therefore, that's aser. And as he says, in anything that the more it cooks, the better it gets, as kugain krua, for example, as cabbage, upulim, and beans, ubasatarif, and minced meat, which is a type of a case that the more it cooks, the better it gets, but it's talking about a case when you don't need it for guests, as we learned in the previous staff, because if you need it for guests, then that's considered a stomach for rally, because you have to serve them respectable pieces. So however, all these cases, aser, it's aser because the more they cook, the better it gets, and then you might come to rake the flames because you want it to really be oiskekocht, you want it to be really well-flavored. However, v'chamet stomach v'rali, mutter, whatever, the more it cooks, the worse it gets, then it's mutter, which I agree to you regarding a beverage or regarding a drink, that liquids, the more they cook, the worse they get evaporated. But cooked dishes, they're arguing you. However, the Gemara brings, k'toni miya, but ultimately, one thing that we see from this braisa regarding the israf shahir, which that's what they're discussing from leaving from before Shabbos onto Shabbos without a blech, that is tavshashli bishal kotzarka, that they both agree regarding a cooked dish that wasn't fully cooked, that they said, and we see explicit by Reb Meir, that it's mutter b'shoigig, and it's aser b'mezid. That we see that when it's not fully cooked, there is a difference between shoigig and mezid when you left it from before Shabbos. So therefore, it's difficult, both according to Rabbah and according to Reb Yosef, that they say that it's mutter b'mezid, and according to Reb Nachman, that he said that it's aser b'shoigig, that both of them said that either one or the other, either they're both mutter, they're both aser. Here we find that it's not true, that the Tanoim say that there is a difference, even regarding shahir, that b'shoigig is mutter and b'mezid is aser. So therefore the Gemara says, b'shlam l'v'nachem b'yitzchuk l'kasha, that according to the opinion of v'nachem b'yitzchuk, that he said that both are aser. When you leave it on from before Shabbos without a blech, whether by mistake or intentionally, both are going to be aser. So it's understandable how to resolve it with these tanoim. Because kan koidim gezer, kan lacha gezer, that as v'nachem could answer, that when we sit over there in Ambraisa, that b'shoigig you could eat it, that's before the gzeir that, as the Gemara is going to bring later, that they had made a gzeir on those that forgot it because of those who did it b'mezid. And when Reb Chiya bar Abba said his halacha, he was going according to the maskana after the gezerah that even b'shogeg is asa. So therefore, it's not difficult that the Tanoim said that b'shogeg could eat him b'mezenat. That's before the gezerah. After the gezerah, even they would agree, and that's the halacha he was saying. That's halacha l'maisa that even b'shogeg is going to be asa. However, el Rabbi Rav Yosef dam l'tatera, but according to Rabbi Rav Yosef, that they said that when he said lo yishna, Reb Chiya bar Abba said both cases were mutter, even if it was done b'mezid. Because as we said, that there, a person didn't do any ma'isa, didn't do any action. So then, the question is, ikoidim gezeira, if the statement of Reb Chiya was talking about before the gezeira, so then kasha mezid, so then you have the difficulty from the braisa, which says that b'mezid lo yoichel, that if it's done on purpose, you can't eat it. That's not like Rabbi Rav Yosef, who said even b'mezid, you could eat it if it was left from before Shabbos. If when they were talking about Rabbi Yosef that they're both mutter was talking about after the gzer, then kashan hamashogeg, then even the case of shogeg is difficult according to them, because then even when it was done by mistake, it should have been aser, because from the Mishnah that said it's aser only b'mezid, that was before the gzer, but after the gzer, then they aser even b'shogeg, so then both cases shogeg mezid are difficult in Rabbi Yosef, which concludes kashan. It is a difficulty according to Rabbi Yosef how they work it out according to this Tanoim that at least Memezid is aser, and possibly even Shogeg is aser after the Gezerah. And they were saying this halacha of Reb Chiya, that not only is Shogeg mutter, but even Memezid is mutter, and that's difficult from the Tanoim. Now the Gemara goes back and says, my Gezerah, what is this decree that we mentioned before, that we said before the decree and after the decree, as if the halacha changed regarding someone that left his food on the fire without a blech, without taking out the coals from before Shabbos. So the Gemara says, Amar Rav Yehuda bar Shmuel, Amar Rav Abba, Amar Rav Kahana, Amar Rav. Originally they said that whoever cooks food on Shabbos, in other words, with his hands, he was over achiv deraisa bishul one of the 39 melachas. So then b'shogeg yechel, he did it by mistake, he didn't mean to cook, then he could eat it. B'mezid lo yechel, if he did it on purpose, then he's not allowed to eat it. V'hu adin l'shechech, and we said the same thing applies to someone that forgot the food from before Shabbos, that he did the isra of shehiyah, and if he did it by mistake, he forgot, then you could eat it. If he did it on purpose, then you can't eat it. And that is as if you did it with hands. We'd equated it with the regular halacha of bishul. However, and that was like we said, that was the opinions of the Tanaim we saw in the Braisa, that b'shogeg you could eat b'mezid kanet, just like on Shabbos regarding bishul. However, mishrabu mashin b'mezid, but when there was a proliferation, when those who started doing it on purpose, they started leaving the foods without a blech from before Shabbos on purpose. V'oymim shcheichemon, when they said, hey, wait, we forgot it. And therefore, we're allowed to eat from this food after the fact, because when it's forgotten, the halacha is that it's mutter. So therefore, chazru v'konsu ha-shechech, therefore they went back and they penalized even on those who forgot it, because if we're going to let those who forgot it, people are going to do it on purpose and claim they did it, they forgot it. Therefore, we penalized all cases, even if they forgot it. And as we said before, because there it's more chamer than cooking on Shabbos, which we still allow b'shogeg, because here they're more lax, it's only drabbanan, it's only passive, it's not an active malacha, so therefore people are lax about it, and therefore they'll do it b'mezid. And therefore we have to knas, even b'shogeg, even in shogeg and mezid, both of them are usher if it was left from before Shabbos without a blech. Now the Gemara goes back to this braisa that we quoted from Reb Meir and Reb Yehuda regarding this halacha of shir from before Shabbos. The Gemara says that kashad Reb Meir Reb Meir and kashad Reb Yehuda Reb Yehuda, we have a steer, a contradiction between the opinion of Reb Meir here and Reb Meir on the braisa and the previous staff. And we have a steer of Reb Yehuda over here and Reb Yehuda's opinion on the previous staff. And that is, we learned on Daf Lamed Zion that Reb Meir said that according to the Beis Hill, that it's mutter to do shia only on chaman, on a hot drink, but not on the tafsa, on a cooked dish. Whereas here on this daf, we learn from the Braisa that he says it's permitted to do shehiyah on a hot drink and on a cooked dish that was fully cooked. Which there he said that a cooked dish he's not allowed to do shehiyah on. And there's a contradiction in Rabbi Yehuda's opinion also, because there Rabbi Yehuda said that you could do shehiyah on a cooked drink, on a hot drink and a cooked dish. And here he says that it's forbidden to do shehiyah on a cooked dish that was fully cooked. That it's still aser, because it's mistamek v'yafel, it gets better as it's cooked. And there he says that it is mutter to do shia on a cooked dish. So the Gemara resolves the contradiction of both opinions. Dremeya, dremeya, lo kash, regarding the two opinions of Remeya, it's not a problem. Halakatchila had the yevid, that there was talking about on the previous staff, that the opinion of Remeya, they was talking about initially what you are allowed to do lakatchila. On that we say that it's aser to do hashia even on a cooked dish. Here he's talking about the yevet after the fact, then once it was done, then it's going to be mutter. And that is, on the first Mishnah, l'ketchilo, you can only do a hot drink, not a cooked dish. Here, Rimei was saying that if it was already left for me before Shabbos, then it's going to be mutter to eat it. And Rabbi Yehuda, the Rabbi Yehuda Namal Kasha, regarding the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda, it's also not a difficulty. Because Kamba Gufa Ketumah, Kamba Sheina Gufa Ketumah, there on the previous daf was talking about what you're allowed to do, like even like a tchilo, that was talking about when there was a blech, when there was garfa katim, you had shoveled out the coals. Here he's talking about when there is no garfa katim, there's no blech, you didn't shovel out the coals. And therefore it's usur, even b'diavad. And that is because on the previous daf that was talking about a blech, it said as follows. Mashina gabe gufa ketumah, you can do shia on something that's garfa katim that has a blech that was shoveled out from the coals. And you're not allowed to do shia on something that does not have a blech. And then on that, the explanation was, and what are you allowed to do shahiyah on something that's garfa katan that would permit it to you? On that, Rameya says as follows. And Rabbi Yehuda says as follows, and therefore, even like a tchila, Rabbi Yehuda says it's permitted because there's a blech. Here it's talking about when there is no blech, as we said that you did shahiyah without a blech, and therefore, even after the fact, it's going to be asr, and therefore, it's not a contradiction between their opinions, and that is they're talking about different elements. Rabbi Yehuda over there was talking about without a blech and with a blech, and here he's talking about without a blech. And there Rameh was talking about l'ketchila, what you're allowed to do initially, and here he's talking about after the fact. And related to this topic, the Gemara brings that before we discussed the question regarding if someone forgot and he did shahiyah, he left on some food before Shabbos without a blech. Now the Gemara asks a similar type of question. Ibailu, they asked the following question. Ova v'shomai, if someone intentionally went and he left it on the fire without a blech, what's the halacha? Is it permitted to eat or not? In other words, he did it b'mezid. As the question is, mikan sura banaylai, did the rabban penalize him regarding this isra of shahiyah or not? And that the Gemara brings tashma damish mo banasin on Reb Chanina. K'shalach Reb Yisli Tzipuri, and Reb Yisli went to Tzipuri. Motza chamin shenishtal gabekir. He found that there was hot water that was left on the fire on this kira that was not garva katan. There was no blech. B'lo yoslan. And they did not forbid it for them. And that's because, as we said, that everyone agrees regarding a hot liquid, that it's mistamak v'ra'ali, the more it cooks, the worse it gets, and therefore you don't need to have a blech. However, he saw beitzim mutzumakish in the shtar agabekir. He saw that there was eggs that were shriveled up, that were getting, so to speak, cooked out on top of the kira. V'aslan, and he said that it's forbidden for them, because there it's mistamak v'yafalai, the more it cooks, the better it gets. And therefore, the Gemara infers, my love lo yisa Shabbos isn't talking about when he says that he made it forbidden for them, that is talking about on that Shabbos, and that is that we do make a knas, we penalize it, and therefore he said that's also for them to eat it. The Gemara says, no, it's not a raya. Lo yisa Shabbos habo, when he says that it was forbidden for them, it was for the coming Shabbos. And that is, he said now, today on Shabbos, when he came to him, he said it's forbidden that you're not allowed to do this the next Shabbos, because that's your classic Yisra Shia, not letting things on the fire from before Shabbos without a blech. If the more cooks, the better it gets. But on that Shabbos, he allowed them to eat it. And therefore, possibly we don't kenas, even if it was done b'mezid, it was done intentionally, we don't penalize. And therefore, there's no raya either way to this question regarding if we make a kenas, and regarding someone that was did it b'mezid, if he intentionally left food on the fire from before Shabbos without a blech. Now, related to this, in this discussion, it came out that he penalized them, at least for the following Shabbos, possibly this Shabbos, that in other words, that it's usher to leave on eggs that are fully cooked from before Shabbos and that they're shriveling up. So the Gemara says, Machlal debates him with tzumakis mitzdamkis v'yafis lehenenu. Obviously, it's mashma that eggs that are getting cooked out, they're getting shriveled from the more they're cooked, that it's considered something that the more it gets cooked, the better it gets. And that's why I said that it's usher, because it's mitzdamik v'yafis lehenenu, and that's why it has to have a blach. So the Gemara says, yes. And I'll show you that the Amr Rav Chama Bar Chanina said, "Pamachas nesarachti ani v'Rebbe l'mokem echad." One time, me and my teacher, we lodged in one place. V'yaviu lefaneinu beitzim tzemokis kuzrod, and they brought in front of us. And this was on a weekday. They brought us in front of us eggs that were so shriveled up, like sorb apples, that they got so small, like how small sorb apples are, because they got so cooked out. V'chalnu mehem arba, and we ate a lot of them. And from the fact that he said we eat a lot of them, obviously it's good that it had a good flavor because it got cooked out. And therefore, these type of eggs that we say that the more it gets cooked, the better it gets, it's going to be mitzdamek v'yafaloi. And therefore, even if it was fully cooked from before Shabbos, it would require to have a blech because or else someone might come to rake the flames because it has a better flavor the more it gets cooked. Now the Gemara returns to the Mishnah that said, b'shil oimim af machzir, that there was a discussion regarding leaving things on from before Shabbos. And then there was Machlokes Reb Shimon ben Bishil regarding putting things on Shabbos on the blech. That Bishil says you're allowed to even return food onto the fire on Shabbos. Again, not initially, but you can return it on Shabbos as long as there's a blech, which is garfa katam, either that the coals were shoveled out or that it was covered with ashes, then you can even put the food back on Shabbos. So the Gemara qualifies this halacha. The Amar of Sheishis, Ledivya Aymer, according to the one that says, continue on to Amid Beis, Machzirin, that the ones that say this is that, in other words, the opinion of Beis Hill, that you could put things back even on Shabbos onto the blech, Afilu b'Shabbos, it's even on Shabbos, which means to say even on the following day, on the day of Shabbos. In other words, not that you should think that the whole machlekes Beis Hill and Beis Shammai was only on Friday night. And only there did Beis Hill say that it's mutter to put it back on, because there it's obvious that when you took it off, that you were going to put it back on so that you could have it for the following day. But if you took it off during the day, then it's not obvious that you took it off to put it back on, because you took it off on Shabbos day. What do you need it back on for? The day is almost over. You had your day meal already. And therefore, I would have said that the original shahiyah, the original placement that it was there, there was this continuity that it had, is bottle. In other words, it's over. And therefore, like when you're putting it back now on Shabbos day, it would be like a new shahiyah, which even Beis Hill holds its usri, and Allah initially put things on Shabbos. It's only if we still view it as the original Shehi is still there. And that the Chiddush is that even on Shabbos, even by Shabbos day, it's still considered when you take it off, we're viewing it when you put it back on as if it's continuation that you had taken it off with the intention to put it back on. It's not only on Friday night, where there it's obvious you need to have the food for Shabbos day, that's why we allow you to put it back on, because it's still continued from the original Shia. And we say, no, even on Shabbos day, it's the same classification. V'af Rabbi Ishi Sover, af Machzir, and afilu b'Shabbos, even Rabbi Ishi holds that you're allowed to even return it even on Shabbos day, as the Gemara brings. Dom Rabbi Ishi, p'machas yinu oimdim le'elim Reb Chiya Rabba. One time we were standing before Reb Chiya the Great. V'halnu lo'i kumkum shalchamen midyutach toina le'dyutel yona. One time we brought him a kettle of hot water from the lower floor to the upper floor where he was. V'mizagnu lo'i sakais, we diluted for him a cup of wine. V'chzerenu l'mkame, and then we brought it back to its place. In other words, brought it back onto the stove where we were staying warm. And they didn't say anything for us. Obviously, this heter of chazara is not only on Friday night, it's even on Shabbos day. You're allowed to even put back things on Shabbos. So now the Gemara wants to say that there's a few conditions for this heter of chazara. In other words, to view this as a continuation, which according to everybody, you're not allowed to put something initially, even if it's fully cooked, on Shabbos on the oven, because it looks like you're cooking, that you're putting something on the oven on Shabbos. It's only if what was left from before Shabbos that we allow that to continue. When you take it off, we view it, so to speak, as if it's still there because you plan on putting it back. So therefore, the Gemara says there's a few conditions possibly for this heter of chazar. Amar b'zeikam erab amar b'tadoi. Lo yishonu, we did not learn this heter, this permission of chazara, if as long as there's a blech, if it's garf or katim, if the coals are shoveled out or covered with ashes, ela she'oidim miyadai. It's only if the pot, let's take the classic crock pot, the chalent, if it's still in his hand. But if it was already placed on the ground, so then it's going to be also to put it back because the original shia was already bottled. And now it's as if you're putting it back on the first time because it put on the floor, so to speak. We don't see it anymore that it was on. It's only if it was in your hand that, so to speak, it was never, so to speak, removed totally. So then you could put it back. But if it's put on the floor, then it's also. And therefore, you cannot do chazar. So Amr Rabbi commented on this halacha. Reb Tadoi the Oved the Garmeu David. This what Reb Tadoi said. He said for himself. In other words, he's an individual, and this halacha is not like him. Elohachim Reb Chia Reb Yechonon. Rather, this is what Reb Chia said in name Reb Yechonon. Afilu nichal gabe karka mutter. Even if it's placed on the floor, it's mutter. We don't see it, so to speak, as an annulment of the original shi'i. As long if it was put on the floor, no. Even if it was put on the floor, you could still go ahead and put it back on the thing. Chazar is mutter. We view it as still a continuation of the original shi'i. And the Gemara says that pligi barav dimir of Shmuel b'Yehuda, that this same achlekes was argued by other amarim. B'tavai mishmit Reb Elazar, and they both said it in the name of Reb Elazar. One said that it's only if it's still in his hand that he's still holding the crock pot, then he can put it back onto the base. Agabe karka asa, if you put it down onto the ground, then it's going to be prohibited. And the other one said, no, even if it was put down onto the ground, you let go of it, it's still going to be mutter, put it back on. So that was one tanai, so to speak, in this heter of chazar that was debated. Another condition that's discussed, Amar chizki mishmida abaya, this that you said, that if you're still holding it, that it's mutter, that was one condition that we said is required. There's a sub-condition into that. We didn't say that it's permitted to put it back, only if his intention was, when he took off the crock pot, he's holding it saying, wait a second, I'm still going to go ahead and put it back because people want to have chalent later. But if he did not have intention to put it back, then it's going to be asr, because again, the idea is to see continuity of the original shehiyah. We have to view it as it's still on there. And therefore, there's two elements over here. There's a person's actions and there's his thought process. So therefore, in action, we still view it as part of, on still on the base because it's holding it. He didn't put it on the ground in a new area. But his das also has to be that I'm going to put it back because or else we view it as not there anymore because he didn't plan on putting it back. However, the Gemara infers, Machlal de Gabi Karka, that's mashma, that if it was put on the ground, that even if he had intention to put it back, it doesn't make a difference. It's prohibited because as long as you didn't do both, you have to have A in your hand and to have in mind to put it back. But if it was put on the floor, even if you have in mind to put it back, it's going to be asa. However, Igudami, there are those that say a different version, which is more lenient. And that is, Amr Chizki Meshmid Abayi, that Chizki said in the name of Abayi as follows. Hod Amrit Al Gabi Karka Asr. This that you said that when it's put onto the ground, then it is prohibited to put it back, because we view it as, so to speak, an interruption in the continuity of the Shia. Lo Yomarin El She'in Dai Te Lahachzer. We didn't say that it was only if you didn't have a mind to put it back. Avad Dai Te Lahachzer Mutter. But if you had a mind to put it back, then it's Mutter. That this version holds that either one you could have as long as you're holding it, or if you put it down on the ground and you have intention. Again, we still view it as connected either through your action or through your thoughts. However, Mechalal, it's inferred that if it's still in his hand, even if you don't have the das to put it back, it's still mutter again because he's just holding it and it was never, so to speak, put in a different area. Now the Gemara inquires about something that would seem to be somewhere in the middle, that it's not, so to speak, still on the fire, but it's not totally put down on the floor, and therefore the Gemara is not sure if that would be considered continuity or an interruption to allow chazara or not. But Rabbi Yirmi asked the following cases. Tolon b'makal mahu, if it was hung on a peg, what's the halacha? Do we view that as it's still in his hand, which would allow you to put it back? Or do we view it as put onto the ground, and therefore that would be asur? Similar type of question is, hinichin al gabi mita mahu, if it was put on a bed, what's the halacha? In other words, and similar, the poskim handle la halacha regarding it was put on a table. A table is not the ground, it's not a, but it's, so to speak, it's still not on the base. So therefore, is that considered like still in your hand? Or would be viewed as the ground, which is a total annulment, and therefore it would be usher to put it back. That's the question. A similar type of question, Boya Vashi asked, Pinam mimechem lemechemahu. If the liquid or the soup, the chalent, was transferred from one kettle to another kettle, what's the halacha? Is it going to be considered like a new shahiyah, because it's in a totally new pot, and therefore it's usher to return it to the kir, or not? Do we say that, no, you're returning it, although it's a new pot? It's still, so to speak, you took it off, you're holding it, you had in mind to put it back, and you just changed the pot because that pot was not working well, whatever. And therefore it's chazar. On that, the Gemara says, take her. It was inconclusive about these questions if, so to speak, they're considered like a chazar, which is mutter, or do you view it as a new nisin l'katchila, a new putting onto the stove on Shabbos, which would be yasser. Now we continue on to the next Mishnah, which is a continuation of the previous Mishnah, which spoke about kira, regarding a kira type of an oven. Now the Gemara goes on to the halachas of a tanner. That is, there are three different types of ovens that they had in those days. There was a kir, which we spoke about in the previous Mishnah, which had a place for two different pots, either on top that was hanging from the top inside the oven, or inside there was a room for two different pots. Then there's a tanner, which we're going to show that it's the most chamerdiger type, which had, it was a trapezoidal, which was, it was wider on the bottom and it was narrow on the top, and therefore it was very hot, and it was created in such a way, the structure, that it retained the heat a lot. And then this kupach, which is somewhere in the middle, that it's a perfect square, that it has room for one pot, so therefore it's not as open as the skewer that we spoke about in the previous Mishnah, but it's not as chamer, it's not as, so to speak, as hot as a tana, which is was structured in such a way that it retains the heat very much so. So the Mishnah begins, tana, regarding this tana, again, that we said that it's narrow on the top and it's wide on the bottom, and therefore the heat is much hotter than the heat of a kira. And therefore the Mishnah says that it's more chomer in the halachas of shehiyah than the halachas of kira that we mentioned in the previous Mishnah. And that is, by regarding tana shesiku bekasha begave, even if it was heated just with straw and with stubble, which regarding kira we said is going to be mutter because it won't help to rake that, there's no coals, and therefore there's no concern to require a blech. Still, regarding a tana lo yitin, you're not allowed to put it on into the tana oven. Whether inside the tana, whether on top of it, it's still aser, because since it gets so hot, even if you totally took out all the coals, there's still something in there that you're going to be able to make something out of it because the tana is so hot. Regarding this kupach, which Gemara is going to explain, that it's made in structure, it's made like the kira. However, it's different that its length is the same as its width, it's a perfect square, and there's only room for one pot, whereas by kira, there was room for two different pots, which was a much larger structure. So therefore, regarding kupach, it's somewhere in between. Shesiku bekasher gava, if it was heated with straw and with stubble, harizik kiraim. Then it has aloha like a kiru, which is mutu, we said, when it's with kash and gava, with straw and stubble. However, regarding begefes ve'etzim, if it's heated with mark and with wood, which are things that are flammable, that they have coals that create something that you can go ahead and rake later on in Shabbos, harizik tana, their kupach has aloha like taner, which is going to be awesome. So therefore, for some things it's like a kiru, and for some things it's like a taner, depending on the element that you're heating it with. Now the Gemara goes back to discuss the Mishnah. We mentioned in the Mishnah, Taner Shehistiku, regarding this Taner oven that was heated, we said that it's Aser, whether on top or whether inside, it's always a problem in the Taner. So the Gemara says, the Sover of Yosef Lameimah, the Rav Yosef thought to say, that Toichai Toichai Mamash, when the Mishnah says that it's forbidden to put in, even if it's just with Kash and Gavava, it's prohibited inside or on top. It means Toichai means Mamash inside, and Al-Gabav Mamash, and on top means on top, and that is when it's hanging in the so to speak, this cavity that's on top of the oven. Avalis mechshabadami. However, what was not said regarding someone leaving it alongside the oven, then near the wall of the tana, that would be mutter, because it only says on top and inside, but alongside it, when it's alongside the oven, although it's very high, that would be mutter. And that is Rabbi asked in Rabbi Yosef from the Sefer of our Mishnah. The Mishnah said, kupach shesiku b'kasha b'gav v'arir k'krayim. That a kupach that was heated with straw and stubble, there, since it's somewhere in between, for regarding the lighter heating element of straw and stubble that doesn't create something that really makes coals that you could rake it on Shabbos, for that it has the halacha like here. But guess if it ate some harayi katana v'asa, but regarding when it's heated with the pulp of the sesame seeds and with wood, then it has a halacha like a tana, then it would be forbidden. So the question is, so the inference is, hakakira shari. But in other words, if we would say that it would have a halacha like a kira, then it would be mutter. In other words, from the fact that we say that a kupach that's heated with gefes and eitzim, that it has a halacha like taner, in other words, is mashma, that if we would compare it to kira, then it would be mutter. And obviously that we hear that kira that was heated with gefes and with eitzim is mutter. To which you can ask, but my asking, what is this case that we're told about regarding kupach, that it's like a taner, that it's asta, but if it was like a kira, it would be mutter, even when it's heated with gefes and eitzim. Ilim al-gabav, if we're told about when you put it on top of the kupach, when again, when it's heated with this heating element of Geves of Eitzim, Ubamai. So what's the case talking about? Ile Mikshen Agarva Kadim, ever talking about that it was not shoveled out from the coals and it wasn't covered with ashes? So how's that possible? Ele Kira Kiena Gruva Kutum Al-Gabav Mishari? Is the Kira itself, when it's not Garva Kadim, when it wasn't shoveled out from the coals or covered with ashes, on top of it is permitted? In the previous mission, we said not. We said that even Kira is Aser by Geves and Eitzim, that if it's not shoveled out, if it's not gravakatam, it's aser. So what are we saying that it's going to be aser, the kupach? Because like a taner, but like a kira would be mutter, a kira also would be aser on top if it's with gefes of eitzim that wasn't shoveled out. El alav lismach, so Abai says, rather, isn't the case of the Sefer talking about, that we're talking about when you put alongside the kupach, with there it would be mutter if it was by a kira, as we learned in the previous daf, that putting something alongside a kira, although it wasn't shoveled out from the coals, is mutter. However, and yet, we say that this kupach, when you're putting alongside of it, when it's heated with skefes of eitzim, that it has halacha like tana, that it's aser. So obviously we see that regarding a taner, that it's aser even for smicha, even putting alongside it, which is not like Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef wanted to say that taner is only aser on top of it or inside of it, but alongside it, which is more lax in the sense that it's not, so to speak, directly with the heat, that there is mutter. But here we see explicit from the Sefer of our Mishnah that the case of kupach, that when we compare it to taner, has to be, we showed conclusively, has to be talking about a case of smicha alongside of it, and yet we say that it would be aser by a taner. So the Gemara says that Amar Avad Rehava, it's not a riot, because hacha b'kupach gar v'katam. In truth, what we're talking about over here, we're talking about a kupach that was shoveled out from the coals and was covered with ashes. Utana gruva g'tumaskin, and we're talking about an oven that was also shoveled out from the coals and covered with ashes. And when we say hariyu katana, when we say that the kupach has aloha like a tana, that it's aser, by when it's heated with gefes v'etzim, that's the afagav dekar v'katam, that even when it was shoveled out and covered with ashes, al gabav aser, still on top of it, it's aser. And that is where we say the kikir, because if it would be like a kira, then of course, kigrufu kutum shabadami. If the kupach would be like a kira, then a kira, that even when it's here with the element of gefes ve'etzim, if we say you put on the blach, that is you shoveled out the coals or you cover with ashes, then there would be mutter. The only reason is that a taner, grufu kutum, doesn't help. And even if you shovel out the coals and you cover with ashes, the town is so hot that there's some ember that's going to be there. Or if you cover with ashes, it's not going to help. It's going to be so hot even when you start diminishing it with ashes. And that's what we say when a kupach is like a tanner. It's talking about that it was covered with ashes, and therefore it's going to be usher like a tanner, because guruf katam doesn't help. But kira, of course, if you cover it with garf katam, as we mentioned in the previous mission, it's going to be mutter, and therefore there's no proof to abaya, not like Rav Yosef, that smich is going to be usher by a tanner. Possibly smich is mutter, and the case of the sefer is not talking about smich, it's talking about on top, but it was covered with ashes, or that it was shoveled off in the coals. However, the Gemara says that Tanika Vaseida Abaya. However, you do have a Braisa that says like Abaya, which would be not like the teretz of the Gemara for Rabbi Yosef to, so to speak, say that he's not Shavan, that Smicha would be Asr regarding a Tanner. And the Braisa is explicit. It says, Tanner Shesiku Bekasha Begava, regarding a Tanner oven that was heated with straw with stubble, Ein Tzaymchanoi, that you can't do Smicha by it. That's it. It says exactly like Abaya, that a Tanner, even if it's with straw and with stubble, you can't do Smicha near it. And you definitely don't have to say that regarding the tanner that it's us to put on top of it. And definitely you don't have to say it's us to put inside of it, which these are levels of greater intensity of heat. And you don't have to say that it's usher when it's going to be heated with an element of gevus of eitzim, where there you can rake the flames, because here we're saying it even when it's with strong with stubble, which by kiru we say we're never concerned about because it doesn't create these coals. And we're saying that not only that it's usher by straw and stubble, it's even usher with smicha alongside of it, exactly like Abaya. Kupach shesiku bekash, and then the Braisa continues that a kupach that was heated with kash and with gavava, again we said a kupach is something that it's a square that has room for one pot, that's somewhere between the kira and the tana. So then if it was heated with straw and stubble, then semchan loy v'nisn al gabav, then you could do smicha near it, and you could put food on top of it, because then we compare it like a kira, as we said in the Mishnah. But if it's heated with mark and with wood, then we compare it to a tanner, then ain't semchan loy, then you can't even put things near it again like a tanner. So therefore the Gemara brings a raya that is like Abaya, that a tanner is also even with smicha. Now the Gemara wants to understand this middle madrega, so to speak, of kupach, that it's, so to speak, in one element it's like kira, when it's, so to speak, with this straw with stubble. And then one element is like a tanner, that when it's with gevus of eitzim, then it's going to be awesome. What is the understanding of this kupach? If we say that it has the halachic status of a kira, then even when it's with mark and with wood, it also should be permitted to do shihiyah when it's garfakat, and when it's covered with coals, with ashes, or if it's shoveled out from coals, just like it is by a kira. And ikatanadami, if we say that really that this kupach is like a tanner type of an oven, then even when it's with straw with stubble, it also should be usher, it shouldn't be permitted even in such a case. So why do we say sometimes like this, something like that? So he says, because it really is somewhere in the middle. Amalei nafish havli min dekira, it's hotter than the kira. However, zuter havli min tanner, but it has less heat than the tanner, and therefore it's somewhere in between. That is, so therefore, when it's, so to speak, when it's fueled with this lighter version of the straw and stubble, which is can't really make coals out of it, and therefore we say there it's like a kira, but when it's, so to speak, when it's with this element of kevesu eitzim, then we say since it is hotter than a kira, that type of element, we are concerned that you're going to be mechata, that it won't help, so to speak, to do gar for katim, even in such a case. Now the Gemara, to understand this, wants to say what is the structural properties of this kupach, to understand why is it that it's, so to speak, hotter than a kira, but it's less than a tanner. As the Gemara says, Hechadome kupach, Hechadome kira. What is this difference between the kupach and the kira? We understand the tanner is this trapezoidal, it's, so to speak, created to, so to speak, maximize the intensity of the heat. However, kupach and kira sound like they're the same type of square type of structures. So Amar Rabbi Yosef Rechanina, kupach mokum shvises keder achas, that this kupach has room for placement of one pot, and it's a perfect square. Kira mokum shvises keder, whereas a kira has place for the has room for the placement of two pots. So therefore, that's a rectangle, and therefore it's wider open, and therefore it's not as hot as a kupach, because a kupach is much smaller, and therefore it retains the heat much more, and that's why, again, we said it's more chamer than a kira, but yet it's still less than a tana. Sama Abaya, Vitem Rabbi Yirmiyah, Afananam Tanim, we also learned in the Braisa this concept to show that the structure of the kira and of a kupach, because we learned kira shenechle kala arka tahira. Regarding a kira that was split down the length, it's going to be tahar. And that is because if you split it down the length, then you, so to speak, cut it down the middle of these two placements, because now the width is split into two, and therefore it's tar from the tumma that it is, because it's totally destroyed from being used as a kli, and therefore, as in the halachas of tumma of kli, when it's destroyed, that it can't be used, and therefore it's tar. Whereas larach b'tameya, but if this ki was split in its width, then it's tummy, because now what you did is you have the two placements are still, so to speak, intact. And now, just like, it's almost like two different kupachs. You have these two placements of where the pots could go, one for one side and one for the other side. Therefore, it's still going to be tummy because it's still usable as a kli, as an oven. Whereas kupach, bein la'arka, bein la'rach b'tar, versus by a kupach, we said whether it's split down the length or down the width, it's going to be tar, because as we said, because it's a perfect square, the length and the width are the same measurements. And therefore, whichever way you cut it, you're going to be cutting the place of the one placement in half, and therefore it's not going to be usable as an oven in any sense of the matter, and that's why it's going to be tar. So therefore we see from this price, so the same concept, that the difference between the kupach and the kira is that a kira is much wider, has a placement for two pots, and therefore it might be a difference how you cut it, whereas the kupach only has room for one pot, and therefore it's somewhere between a kira and a tana. Now the Gemara continues with the next Mishnah, again with the theme of this parak regarding the halachas of Bishul, talking about different types of cookings. The Mishnah begins, Ein noisen beitza b'tzad ha-meichem b'shvil shel tiskalkel. You're not allowed to place an egg, even not on the fire, just beside a kettle that's very hot, so that it should become slightly roasted. And that is the word shel tiskalkel, is that it should get roasted until it can roll around, which is, that's how we know that an egg is so to speak, cooked, that it's roasted, because that's going to be enough to cook the egg, because the egg gets cooked very easily. Then the Mishnah continues with a different halacha, and you're not allowed to break an egg upon a hot scarf that was heated in the sun, so that now this hot scarf is hot, it was let out in the yard, and now you break an egg on it, it's going to get cooked from the scarf. However, Rabbi Yisi says, no, that's muta, because the Isra of Bishul was only with things that were heated on an element of fire, whereas here that it was heated by the element of the sun, there's no problem about cooking an egg on the scarf. Therefore, on the car would be the same thing. You'll be able to heat it. You'll take an egg, crack it on the hot car, and you have cooked eggs on Shabbos, according to Rabbi Yossi. However, you're not allowed to bury the egg in sand or with the ashes or with the dust of the roads, so that it should get roasted. Because again, it's going to be heated from the sun, baked down on the sand on the beach. You take the egg, you put it in, you get a cooked egg. There it's Aster again, because it's going to get cooked. The Gemara is going to explain why didn't Rabbi Yossi argue in this case. It seems to be the same type of case as the hot scarf, that since it got heated by the sun, it should be permitted to go ahead and bury that egg inside, and then you got a cooked egg on Shabbos. So the Mishnah continues, Maishe she'asu anshei Tveria. There was an incident that happened with the people of Tveria. Ve'heviu siluin shel tzoinin l'teich ama shel chaman, that they brought a pipe of cold water going through a canal of hot water. That is, from before Shabbos, they made these pipes. And it had cold water, but they wanted it to be warm on Shabbos. So so to speak, the pipes went through this canal, and it went through on Shabbos through these Chami Tveria. Tveria is known to have their hot springs. Therefore, the pipes are going through the hot springs on Shabbos, and it comes out into a different pool, which is of clean water. So now they'll have hot water on Shabbos. So Amar Lem Chacham, the Chacham said to them, Im b'Shabbos, if on Shabbos, in other words, the water that's coming through on Shabbos, that now is coming through and it's getting heated, is kahamet shel chochma Shabbos. It's like hot water that was heated on Shabbos. And therefore, vasur and b'chitz b'shti. You're not allowed to cook food or heat up water on Shabbos. And therefore, it's usher to bathe in it and it's usher to drink it. However, in b'yamtiv, it was done in yamtiv, then kahamet shel chochma b'yamtiv. It has the same halacha as water that was heated up on yamtiv. And vasur and b'chitz mutar b'shti. So therefore, it's going to be usher in bathing. However, it will be mutar b'shti, because in yamtiv, you're allowed to cook up food for Eichel Nefesh, and therefore it's going to be Mutter and Shti, but it's still going to be Asr and Rechitza, because water that was heated up on Yom Tov is also Asr and Rechitza.